I'm John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World.
Jews and Samaritans did not hang out. They didn't like each other. Jews thought they were better than the Samaritans. The Samaritans were slightly hood, gold tooth, braids. What? Hold up. Wait a minute. These two cultures did not connect. Yet Jesus stepped across his cultural exclusivity and was a bridge to a broken heart, because her heart mattered more than her culture. Can anybody give God praise that he still reaches out to broken hearts?
Fresh word, fresh perspective, and a whole lot of hallelujah. John Gray's World. Boom! God bless you, family. John Gray here, and I'm honored to be on TBN right now with you, in support of their mission to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's right, the whole world. Not just people that come from where I come from or look like what I look like, but an entire 8 billion human soul-filled world. And I'm so glad you turned to today's broadcast, because we're going to be addressing the subject called the color of love. It's an issue we can't afford to overlook in modern society if we are going to truly impact lives for Christ. I'm going to show you what happens when the church embraces people based on their preciousness to God, rather than being separated because of our carnal externalities. We're going to learn how to overcome the enemy's trick to divide us, and how God's commanded blessings overflow in an atmosphere of unity. So listen to today's message as we begin a new series called Bridge Builders.
How many people are ready for the Word of God tonight? You know, the last time I was in this pulpit, the world was one way. I come back a month later and the whole world has changed. Looks like the world is on fire. Go to France and there's a truck driving through a crowd. Bombs exploding in airports. All manner of international acts of terror. And then, of course, here at home, starting with the absolute horrific atrocities that happened in Orlando, and then with all of the painful, broken killings of officers in Dallas, Baton Rouge, Kansas City, Kansas, and the horrific and painful deaths in Baton Rouge, in Minneapolis, this country, it would look like, is on the verge of tearing itself apart. But I'm here to declare to every devil in hell that every single thing that you have tried will fail, and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And this is the moment where the church must rise up and be the hands and feet of Jesus like never before. We must not allow hate. We must not allow anger. We must not allow the enemy or the spirit of division to break us apart. That is why Lakewood is critical. Look around this dome, look around this arena, and you see every nation represented. This is the will of God. This is the word of God. And this is how you break the back of the devil. I declare that the blood of Jesus will prevail. Even in uncertain times, our God is still on the throne. I need somebody to give God a great praise right now. Mills and Roxanne, you're my family. Joel, you're my brother. Mama Dodie, you are a mother to me. Nick, Dr. Paul, you all are brothers. You're a big brother, a mentor. Craig, you're my friend, my brother, a leading voice in my life. Andre, Gail, we're family. What's weird is none of us grew up in the same house. We don't look alike. Some of us are in better shape than others. Don't judge. We are family. Look at somebody next to you, tell them we're family. Tell somebody else, tell them we're family. Thank you, Jesus. And then I want you to get vulnerable. Tell him, hey, I need you. Tell him. Tell him. You ain't telling nobody. Tell him I said. Those who are watching online, your family. I didn't understand why the Lord brought my wife and I here 3.5 years ago until these recent occurrences in our nation. And I realized that God sent me to a man who has a vision that carries hope to every nation on the earth, regardless of your color, your background, lifestyle choice. Because of Pastor Joel's vision, I am able to stretch and grow and develop, because right now we don't need any more managers, we need leaders. We are in a very critical time. And all of the things that I shared were the social justice and the political issues. Poor baby. Give the baby some crackers or something. Let the baby. Please. Feed her and then come on back. I'm trying to be all deep and spiritual, but. We don't treat each other like we should. I moved into my neighborhood. I still don't know the names of my next door neighbors. Even though I've said hello, there are times when they wave, but it wasn't one of those welcoming waves, like, hey, come on over. It was like, all right, nice to see you. Like, oh, cool. I was just coming over to offer you some food, but if you don't want it, it's more for me. We're in a dangerous time. What is the response of the church? See, because all of the political and social justice issues, all of those things are relevant and necessary for us to discuss. People have asked me, what's your opinion on the things that are happening? Doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the Word says. The response that we must have is biblical. So I want to talk tonight from the subject, the color of love. The color of love. Jesus was a revolutionary in more ways than one. He didn't just come to save souls. He came to turn upside down all of the ideas of what family, relationships, and community look like. What's the name of the country that you were doing surgery in, Dr. Paul? Zambia. Did anybody get saved while you were there? It's very strange to me that a Jewish Jesus who lived over 2,000 years ago could save somebody in Zambia in 2016. Isn't it strange how a Jewish Jesus reached out to a 7-year-old black boy's heart in Cincinnati, Ohio at Bethel Baptist Church and saved my soul? Isn't it strange how the Lord touched you wherever you are and whatever background you are and whatever ethnicity you are? Isn't it strange that Jesus Christ, this Jewish carpenter, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, the Son of Joseph, the Son of David, how did this Middle Eastern Jewish rabbi turn us into this army that is here right now online and all over the world? Is it not strange that even though we do not connect to him culturally, we connect to him spiritually? What is the response of the church to what's going on in society? The whole world is on fire. And that's all right, because I got fire on the inside of me. It's called the Holy Spirit. Jesus outlines for us what it means to be connected. Because right now in this season, you need to know who you're rolling with. You need to know who you are connected to. You don't need any frivolous relationships, no external, extraneous relationships. You need to know who's on your crew. Who is your family? Mi familia. Who's my crew? Who am I rolling with? Matthew chapter 12, starting at the 46th verse. Jesus outlines for us something very interesting about family. The reason why I brought up all of the diversity in this room is because it is critical for us to understand that the solution to what's going on out there is in here. I think, I'm going to talk about it, but while you're going to Matthew 12, This is what it says. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. At this point, the fame of Jesus was spreading, and there were factions that said, this is just the carpenter's son. He's talking about he's the son of God. This dude is crazy. The mother and brothers wanted to talk to him, like, look, Jesus, I know you're doing your thing, man, but you need to calm down a little bit. Maybe you need to stop telling these people you're the son of God. I grew up with you. Don't do that. This was Jesus' response. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? That sounds rude on the surface, like, mom, brothers. But watch what he says next. He says, and he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus drew a distinction between blood ties and kingdom ties. And we are divided by faction and by economic status and by class status. And Jesus does away with all of that in one scripture and declares that familial ties are nice. DNA is great. But let me tell you what's greater. There is a reality greater than your bloodline. There's a reality greater than your family ties. And it is what I'm going to talk about in just a moment. In this passage of scripture, it is clear that family is not restricted to DNA or blood relatives. Jesus speaks of something more enduring than just a casual family reunion. He speaks of a family that transcends societal norms, pre-existing boundaries, the very things that have fractured this nation for many years. There's more tension in our country right now than since the days of the civil rights movement. And people are waiting on a political figure to rise up and give us answers. Well, I'm gonna tell you where the answer is in just a minute.
The enemy is working to divide us. Through circumstances and situations, we're witnessing growing levels of separation in families, between friends, and within the people of our nation. But Christ has overcome the enemy, and in his new three-part series, Bridge Builders, Destroying the Barriers That Separate, Pastor John Gray says, enough is enough. John Gray exposes the devilish tactics that bring strife, mistrust, and discord, and reveals how God's blessings flow and his love brings unity. This is such a timely message. We want to send you your own copy of Bridge Builders as our thank you for your gift of support to TBN. Take a moment right now to call or go securely and conveniently online to choose your level of giving and request your special resources. Let God bridge the divides that separate us and become his instrument of unity and reconciliation. Don't wait. Call now.
Another scripture I want to give you in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. The words of Jesus. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know. The world is looking, whether you know it or not, the world is looking. They're looking for spiritual leadership. They're looking to see what the church is going to do. The church can't be silent right now. It's time for the church to make a little noise, and not just in this room, but in the way we live our lives, in the way we engage culture, in the way we connect to people that don't look like us, don't come from where we come from, do not necessarily share our direct political ideologies. There is something greater than all those things at play. I wonder what it is. Love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I'm going to ask you a question. It is rhetorical. You do not have to answer. But what do you see when you see me? Do you see a pastor? Do you see a husband? Do you see a son? Do you see a comedian, a singer? Do you see color? What do you see when you see me? I said rhetorical, yeah, thank you. Don't have to. Thank you. I really do. But my wife and I and our children were in Hawaii a few months ago. I had to preach there. I didn't have to preach there. I got to preach there. It's like, okay, Lord, if you want me to go to Hawaii, I'll go. The things I do for the kingdom. I was in Hawaii with my wife at the hotel. We were on the elevator. They didn't see my wife. The door opened. There was a lady who was getting ready to walk on the elevator, and she looked up and saw me, and she stepped back and let the elevator close. I wonder what she saw when she saw me. Did she have a preconceived idea of who I was because of the amount of melanin in my skin? What was her experience that caused her to not feel safe with someone she did not even know? She had no clue that if anything were to happen to her in that moment, I would have laid down my life for hers and didn't even know her name. This is the level of love that we are commanded to walk in. Not just to love people who love you. The Bible says even heathens do that, but we are to love those who hate us. Pray for those who curse us. Bless those who curse us. Pray for those who spitefully use us. You use me. Let me pray for the Lord to bless you. Lord, bless them. That makes no sense, Jesus. Take them out of here, Jesus. You can't pray, kill him, Jesus. That's not, he's not going to answer that prayer. It's not his heart. We see each other based on our preconceived ideas. All of us were raised in a particular environment. So how do we deal with what's going on in the world today? There's a whole lot of tension. And people think, this is racial. This is racial. No, it's not. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. And if you respond based on race or based on culture, you miss that this is the work of the devil designed to fracture a nation, separate us by things that don't matter in an effort to keep us from unifying, because the Bible says where there is unity, the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. I'm trying not to yell. There are certain people who believe that the church should be silent on social justice issues. Be quiet. This is not the place to talk about all that. We don't need to be talking about any of this. I'm a little uncomfortable. Where are you going with this? Pastor John, you've been in LA for 3 weeks. Now you're wearing jackets with flowers on it. We don't understand. Do me a favor, go to Luke chapter 3. I want to show you something for those who think that the church should be silent in the midst of what's happening, and then I'm going to preach it like I feel it. Amen. Luke chapter 3, first verse. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Why did I read you stuff that some of us don't understand? Because what this scripture details is the political, social, and cultural climate in which Jesus was being introduced to society. People who don't think the politics and the societal issues do not cry out for a spiritual solution, then you have not read Luke chapter 3, because the Bible makes it clear that the political structure of the day was failing the people, the culture of the day was woefully lacking, and then John the Baptist shows up out of the wilderness saying there's one coming that's going to help us to answer all of the stuff that's going on that the politicians can't answer. that the community organizers can't answer, that all of these other factions cannot answer. The reason why the scripture is important to us as the body of Christ is because you can't just worship in here but not love people out there. Can I get a 3.5-second praise break? Dr. A.R. Bernard at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn showed me this scripture in a sermon. I was just blown away that the Bible makes it clear that we are not to be silent during all of this upheaval. And I know we have a very contentious election cycle. And of course, whatever and whoever gets into office, I need you to know that God is still going to be in control. Get that in your spirit, that God raises up one and puts down another, but he's still in control of the whole thing. So no matter what happens in November, rest well, knowing that the kingdom of God supersedes the kingdoms of men. The point of the scripture in Luke 3, my title being The Color of Love, is that throughout all of the things that were going on, the Bible is saying where political ideology could not change things, Jesus could. Where the social ills look to rule the day, Jesus comes into full view. Where culture clashes with sectarian agendas, Jesus speaks a new reality. What is the call of the church in a perceived post-racial climate, which is not post-racial after all? We, as the body of Christ, cannot look at each other through the lens of cultural context exclusively. We must look at each other through the lens of the color of love. And the color of love is most perfectly displayed in the way Jesus Christ handled people who came from places that he did not come from. This is how we, as the body of Christ, are supposed to engage culture and connect with people that don't look like us or come from where we come from. Holler at me, Jesus. John chapter 4, sit at the well, a Samaritan woman walks up. Jews and Samaritans did not hang out. They didn't like each other. Jews thought they were better than the Samaritans. The Samaritans were slightly hood, gold tooth, braids. What? Hold up. Wait a minute. These two cultures did not connect. Yet Jesus stepped across his cultural exclusivity and was a bridge to a broken heart, because her heart mattered more than her culture. Can anybody give God praise that he still reaches out to broken hearts? Is there anybody here whose heart Jesus has mended? I got 18 witnesses in here. Anybody else at the house? Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, that my background didn't stop you from coming after me.
God is raising you up to be a part of something bigger, a body of believers who know their power to impact our world. That power comes from being unified in Christ Jesus. My new series, Bridge Builders, explains why we must be free from the snares that separate, like race and economics and financial background and class and all of these other things that divide us. For where there is unity, God has commanded the blessing, and it is waiting on us for all of us to experience it together. So call the number on your screen or log on to the website to request your copy of this series right now. God wants to use you to be a bridge to the brokenhearted. You were meant to be an expression of his goodness in the earth. And God knows we need more bridge builders than ever before. And it is my prayer that God continues to use TBN to break down the barriers that have divided us. And may the blood of Jesus be the great unifying factor in the kingdom of God.
The enemy is working to divide us. Through circumstances and situations, we're witnessing growing levels of separation in families, between friends, and within the people of our nation. But Christ has overcome the enemy. And in his new 3-part series, Bridge Builders, Destroying the Barriers That Separate, Pastor John Gray says, enough is enough.
There are some things that you couldn't get through, so Jesus knew he was gonna have to stretch himself out. Is anybody grateful for the bridge?
John Gray exposes the devilish tactics that bring strife, mistrust, and discord, and reveals how God's blessings flow and His love brings unity. This is such a timely message. We want to send you your own copy of Bridge Builders as our thank you for your gift of support to TBN. And in appreciation of your generous gift of $50 or more, we'll send you this special bundle of resources. In addition to Bridge Builders, we'll include John Gray's stirring message, A Strange Way to Save the World. Plus, we'll include this special Praise Break ceramic coffee mug to remind you that praise can break through any barrier. Take a moment right now to call or go securely and conveniently online to choose your level of giving and request your special resources. Let God bridge the divides that separate us and become His instrument of unity and reconciliation. Don't wait. Call now.
In a world full of fear, your support helps keep faith-filled content on the air. I cannot stress this enough. You're reaching the lost. Not just me, because I couldn't do it without you, and TBN could not do it without your support. We need you. I need you. You're reaching the lost and changing the destinies of generations as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, every life impacted by the preaching of the word on TBN is a credit to our passionate partners and friends who want to see a change in our world. If I wanted to use a basketball terminology, somebody might get the basket, but you get credited with the assist. We truly love and appreciate you and will continue working to bring you honorable, godly, excellent content that helps you grow in grace and also encourages your soul and brings hope to your heart. Thank you. I love you. And me, my wife, and my kids are grateful to be a part of your spiritual walk. And I'll see you right here on the next John Gray's World. You know what to do next. Boom!